Hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites who've lost their job also will lose health insurance benefits. We're spending the hour on health coverage on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Last month, the state launched a new web portal to guide people who may be seeking health insurance. It's called WisCovered. Links to a variety of resources. Here's Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in a public service announcement.
There's free expert help available now online or by phone. Visit WisCovered.com for a list of options or just dial 211. It's important not to wait because if you lost your job, had your income reduced, or lost your insurance, you may only have 60 days to find a new plan.
Have you lost your health coverage? What questions do you have about changing plans? Are you worried your current plan isn't comprehensive enough? Bring your questions, 800-642-1234. Sadie Tischer is the owner and an independent health insurance broker at Wisconsin Health Insurance Advocate, LLC. Sadie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate.
Well, tell us what you have observed in your company as you see the massive layoffs across Wisconsin.
Yes, we have observed an increase in enrollments for both on-market plans and short-term plans during a period of the year where we tend to be very quiet. So this is our training type of year where most people enroll during open enrollment, which is at the end of the year, and keep their plan for most of the year. So we've seen a significant increase in the number of questions coming through, both from people who have been laid off and lost their coverage and from people who have gone uninsured and are now feeling like they need to get themselves some sort of option to cover themselves if they get sick.
Oh, so you're seeing a mix of people. It's not just about people who've lost their jobs. It's about people who are saying, whoa, I need health insurance now, as they look around and look at the effects of the pandemic.
Correct. Exactly.
And you work closely with families who need advice about health care. How have you seen COVID-19 affect the people you talk to?
Well, fortunately, we have not seen very many cases of people who have gotten sick with COVID and now need coverage, because health insurance coverage other than BadgerCare never goes backwards. But we are getting inquiries of people who are concerned about it. The other major effect that we're seeing that's unusual for this type of year is people who have had a significant change in income. So they are now getting unemployment, and that unemployment is either more or less than they normally make at their job. A lot of people who work in like the service industry, for example, who maybe are getting a little bit more income than they normally would at their jobs, but also people who have been laid off from work and now are getting less income. So that's not something we're used to seeing at this type of year.
Yeah. So how would your income affect your options for health insurance coverage? And especially as we see the federal, $600 a week going away at the end of this month.
Right. And it's always difficult with unemployment to estimate out your income for the rest of the year. So on the marketplace, the amount of income that you earn, the projection for the year, which is also sometimes hard to gauge, affects how much of a tax credit you get, which will affect your premium and your deductible and your co-pays and co-insurance. With this time of year, it's become a little more difficult to project out for the entire year. Usually we sit down with a person, we kind of look at past years and estimate what their income will be for the year. Now, this year, many people have seen a major change during the March through July period. But because that $600, the federal unemployment is going away, like you said, at the end of this month, it's also been a challenge to predict forward for the rest of the year what that will look like, if people will be able to return to work or if they're going to need to survive on unemployment for a while.
Yeah, and so how do you ballpark that? I mean, how do you estimate those numbers when no one really knows what's going to happen amid the pandemic?
My advice to people is to estimate the lowest possible number rather than the highest possible number. So when you're on the marketplace in particular and you get a tax credit, you have to either pay that tax credit credit back if you underestimated, so your income was more and you may have to pay some of that back. Or if you overestimated, you may get a refund back at the end of the year. The advantage of estimating at the lowest possible reality is that you may get help paying for a deductible. So on the marketplace, if you have income below certain limits, your deductible is also reduced on a sliding scale. So I just hate to see people who end up having lower income at the end of the year when they file their taxes, but they paid a huge deductible that they wouldn't have otherwise had to pay, and there's no reimbursement for that.
We're talking with Sadie Tischer. She's owner and an independent health insurance broker with Wisconsin Health Insurance Advocate and providing assistance to individuals, families, and businesses. Did you recently lose your health insurance? What questions do you have for a policy expert? What do you want to know about the options you have? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sadie, walk us through how soon after you lose your job do you need to file for some type of health insurance coverage so you don't have a gap?
So you need to apply for insurance before the other insurance ends if you don't want a gap. So most companies will continue insurance through the end of the month in which you worked. So for example, if you worked on July 1st, most companies will continue your insurance through July 31st. And July 31st would be your absolute deadline for an August 1st plan. Obviously, you don't want to leave it to the last minute, but that's the final deadline. In the employer, when they sign up for insurance for their whole company, makes the decision on when they will continue coverage. So they have, each employer will have its own policy. If you don't know when your coverage is ending, you'll have to speak to the HR person in charge of health insurance to get you a final date on that. But if you've already lost coverage and now there's a gap, you have 60 days from the time your health insurance ends to sign up for a plan. And you also don't want to wait there because there's also some gaps, further gaps. You have to apply by the 15th of the month before. So, for example, let's say you lost your coverage in June. It's already July 13th. For a plan to start August 1st, you would have to apply by July 15th.
Oh, because there's a kind of an administrative waiting, a backlog time, if you will, in order to get that policy up and running. It doesn't like turn on right away.
Right. There's a wait period and the coverage always begins on the first of a month.
What are you seeing in terms of those policies that in terms of cost, especially for people who are really worried about their month to month income? What are the cost of policies running?
It's really individual because the tax credits vary based on zip code, age, and tobacco status, as well as income. So those four factors make premiums really vary from person to person.
We're talking with Sadie Tischer, a health insurance broker in southeastern Wisconsin. She's fielding your health benefit questions. Do you trust that you'll be covered in the event you need treatment for COVID? What do you want to know about enrollment in Badger Care or on the marketplace, healthcare.gov? Be part of this, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Sadie Tischer right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about healthcare coverage as hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites are out of work due to the economic fallout from the pandemic. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Being underinsured could leave people at risk for catastrophic healthcare costs. Even before the pandemic, more than 18 million Americans were at high risk for COVID-19 complications that they lacked adequate health insurance. It's according to a study published last month in the Journal of General Internal Medicine. Is someone you know losing coverage? Are you confused about what options you have if you lose health benefits? Bring your questions through the hour, 800-642-1234. Sadie Tischer is a health insurance broker advising individuals, families, and businesses. Sadie, you were talking there about the importance of those 60 days. If someone lets their policy lapse past those 60 days, what are the options on the table?
If they have let a marketplace plan lapse and they're on the market, they actually get a 90-day grace period to pay back premiums. As part of the CARES Act, Congress allowed insurance companies to increase that deadline to pay back premiums for 30 days, an additional 30 days. And that's going to end at the end of this month. So if you are on the marketplace and you have past due premiums due, you want to pay them by the end of the month. If you miss that grace period and you don't pay the plan premiums, you are going to go without health insurance for the rest of the year. They're really strict on missing deadlines, and then you can't re-sign up because losing a marketplace plan is not a qualification to then buy a marketplace plan. One other interesting portion of the CARES Act is that for people who have been offered COBRA through their insurer, through their work, and they've left work, the CARES Act also extended the enrollment deadlines to enroll for COBRA to be 60 days after the end of the national emergency. So we don't have a date on when the national emergency will be declared over or not. But if you've been offered coverage and you didn't take a marketplace plan or an off-market plan, you can still go back and enroll in COBRA. You will have to pay all past due premiums to get current coverage, but that may be an option for some people who haven't taken it or didn't take the marketplace.
COBRA in the past has been so costly. Any changes there?
No. So COBRA, the cost will depend on the group plan itself. What I'm finding is that small plans, small employers under 50 employees, the COBRA costs are very expensive and usually are more than going on the marketplace. For larger employers who might be self-insuring or underwriting their employees, those premiums sometimes can be less. So it'll really vary from employer to employer and person to person on which option is less expensive for them.
We have a question here. Karen from Heartland called in, couldn't stay with us, but called to ask, if you qualify for Badger Care, is there a network that you have to stay in? Karen is concerned about surprise billing.
Yes. So Badger Care requires enrollees to choose a Badger Care HMO. And depending where you're located on this in the state, you may have multiple options. In Milwaukee County, it's something like 12 options to enroll in different HMOs. So you have to enroll in an HMO. If you don't choose one, you will be automatically enrolled in one. And yes, you will need to use that HMO's network, except in the case of an emergency. Of course, you should just go to the nearest emergency room. But for regular routine care, it's very important that you stay in network with your HMO.
And we're seeing a big spike in the number of enrollees to Badger Care, and including 24,000 mm-hmm. children. Who qualifies for Badger Care?
So families and people who are below 100% of the federal poverty level, adults can enroll in Badger Care. For children, it's up to 300% of the federal poverty level. So there's many cases that we see where the children go into Badger Care, but the parents have to go into the marketplace.
And when you have diverging plans like that, is it difficult to know, what is being covered, what's not, for those families that have multiple plans?
Absolutely, it can be. Badger Care generally covers more than marketplace plans and at a lower cost. So you really want to contact your HMO if you're seeking care that's not typical. With the HMOs for Badger Care, they do require you to see a primary care provider first who directs your care and gives you referrals to specialists. And those providers are all Medicaid contracted providers. So because you're required to see a primary care provider, that's usually the best route to go for care, as your primary care doctor who's contracted Medicaid will direct that care. With the parents being on the marketplace, yes, it can be confusing, and the parents and the children may have totally different networks that they need to go to.
We're looking at health coverage in the pandemic with health insurance broker Sadie Tischer. She owns Wisconsin Health Insurance Advocate, based in southeastern part of the state. Taking your questions, do you feel confused about the health plan options that you are now faced with? Is someone in your extended family losing their coverage? What do you want to know about how to help them? Have you been avoiding treatment or testing because you're concerned about the cost? Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Sadie, how does health coverage work for people who are furloughed, which is that temporary leave from an employee? How does coverage work with furloughs?
That also will depend on the employer's policy. I have found during the pandemic that most employers have been fairly flexible with keeping their employees on the coverage during a period of leave. Normally, during a period of leave, it's already defined in the plan and the criteria are clear. Like, an employer may continue coverage for 30 days, for example, and then end the plan. Or it could be more, it could be less. But I'm seeing more flexibility keeping people on the coverage, assuming that they will return to work. So that also is going to vary, and you'll have to speak to your HR department at your work to see what their policy is and if they're keeping people on insurance or not.
Yeah, very job site specific. Looking at the health savings accounts that are offered through plans, allowing you to make those tax-free contributions. What happens to these accounts when someone loses their job?
So HSA money is yours forever, and it will continue to roll over. You just can't put money in if you are not in a qualified high-deductible health plan. So your money in an HSA is always yours to use throughout your lifetime. It's not a use it or lose it, much like a flex plan or HRA would be.
So, but you would still have to transfer that over to another high deductible plan. Is that right?
Well, you don't have to have an insurance plan or even a high deductible health plan, an HSA plan, to use the money.
Okay.
So you leave an employer and you have an HSA plan, you can use that money. It will also depend on where the money is right now, whether or not you need to transfer it out. So most HSA plans, you can just continue to keep the money in the company that it is in. Some employers are managing themselves, the plans themselves, and then indeed you may need to transfer them out. Usually the bank or credit union that you normally go to will offer HSA plan options that you could then move that money into if you need to move it.
Let's bring in Mary now in Appleton. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question? Yes, hi.
Well, I haven't been working since the beginning of April, and I did have an option of COBRA for 2 months, but I didn't do that because it was most likely, I've heard it's just been so expensive, and so that I didn't do that. And then it just dawned on me recently that it's like, oh, well, now I have to get insurance. And I think I'm outside of the option for the being able to sign up for Marketplace. So what do I do now?
Mary, thanks. Sadie, what would you suggest?
Yeah, so it sounds like for Mary, it's been more than 60 days that she's gone uninsured, and she won't be able to sign up for a full insurance plan, either on or off the marketplace. So Mary's options would be she can go back and take COBRA. She's still within that extended deadline to enroll in COBRA coverage. The coverage will go back to whenever her other coverage ended. It sounded like it was probably beginning of May, and she'd need to pay those back premiums. Or if Mary doesn't have a lot of health conditions that she needs to cover, if she just wants some sort of coverage in case of an emergency, she could certainly look at a short-term plan. Those short-term plans are the pre-Affordable Care Act, pre-Obamacare kind of insurance where they discriminate against pre-existing conditions, they don't accept everyone, and they don't cover any pre-existing conditions. What they're good for is they get you coverage very quickly for new conditions, new emergencies, new hospitalizations. So they're certainly better than going completely uninsured. I just want to be clear, they're not meant for routine care that you've been continuing to get.
We're spending the hour looking at healthcare insurance options for laid-off workers, uninsured, underinsured Wisconsinites. Sadie Tischer is owner of a Wisconsin-based insurance company. You can join in. Did you receive a bill from testing or treatment that you were told was covered? Were you billed for a phone consultation with a nurse? How are you working with billing on that? Are you avoiding treatment because you're afraid of the cost? Bring your questions, 800-642-1234, back after this news update on the Ideas Network. It's a conversation about health benefits as many Wisconsinites deal with job loss and changing coverage plans for themselves and their families. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new report from the Commonwealth Fund found that among people who said that they or their partner lost a job or were furloughed because of the pandemic, 2 of 5 had health coverage through the affected job. Are you in that boat? Are you looking for health insurance because you or your spouse was laid off? Let's talk about next steps, 800-642-1234. Sadie Tischer is a health insurance broker in Wisconsin and is fielding your questions. Sadie, we had just talked with Mary from Appleton and her situation. Mary forgot to ask if there is a penalty for not having health insurance, and if so, how much is that penalty?
Sure. There is no longer a penalty for going uninsured. That went away as of last year, so there's no further penalty. I also wanted to mention to Mary that, you know, hopefully she'll be back to work soon, but if she doesn't return to work or she gets a job that doesn't offer health insurance, it's important to remember that open enrollment is from November 1st through December 15th for the following year coverage. And then the other thing I wanted to mention too is that it's quite possible that many people who are now laid off may be eligible for Badger Care. Badger Care looks at the entire year's income. So for many people who have been laid off early in the year and maybe even got some unemployment, it's possible that they might be under the annual income limit when they're projecting the full year and they don't think they'll be returning to work. So the income limit for Badger Care for a household size of one person, so that's your tax household, not necessarily the people you live with, but who you file with, like your spouse and your dependents, is $12,490. And the other note about that is that the $600 unemployment federal payment is not counting towards Badger Care. So I'd also really encourage Mary to look at her last pay stub and calculate in her unemployment as if she got the state payment for the rest of this year, and see if there's any chance she might be under that $12,490 limit.
Let's bring in Linda now in Eau Claire. Hi, Linda.
Hello. Yeah, I have a question. I'm a little unclear, actually a lot unclear, about the difference between an HGA and an HSA. And I'm hoping you can clarify that for me.
And starting with those acronyms, Sadie.
I am not familiar with HGA. Could you be saying HRA? R as in reimbursement?
Oh, yes, that's it.
Okay, good. So an HRA, health reimbursement account, is something that is offered through your employer, and almost always it's 100% employer funds. So like your employer says, Linda, we will pay $500 towards healthcare costs during the year. You get us a receipt and we will give you a reimbursement. That's the R. An HSA, a health savings account, is different in a couple of ways. You can only have an HSA if you have a qualifying high deductible health plan. So these are plans where they're specific that nothing is covered except preventive care. Nothing is covered before you meet the deductible in the plan. And that could be true of many plans, but an HSA plan will specifically say it's HSA, or it will have the words high deductible health plan, HD, HP, in the name. And those funds that go into the HSA could be your money, could be the employer's money, or could be a combination. So that'll also vary by plan and employer. For the most part, I see HSA plans that employees are contributing to. And then the other difference too is that an HRA, that first one, the health reimbursement account, is use it or lose it. It's specific to a year. So that reimbursement happens in 2020 for services that you've gotten in 2020. The HSA, the health savings account, that second one, is the money that carries over forever until you use it.
That's that rollover. Linda, does that help?
It does. Thank you.
Excellent. Linda, thanks for the call. We heard from Cindy in Green Bay, called in, couldn't stay with us. Cindy's son is 40 and can't work, but Cindy's son is not on disability. Cindy's wondering, what are good insurance options for him?
Well, it sounds like if he's not able to work and he's not receiving disability income, it's quite possible that he's eligible for Badger Care through the state of Wisconsin. So that is something that he doesn't need an enrollment period to enroll in. He would definitely want to look at that. If he has had income for this year that brings him above the Badger Care limit and he's had another loss of insurance, a marketplace plan might be a great option for him. And those marketplace plans are on a sliding scale based on income. So for many people who aren't eligible for Badger Care or maybe are a little bit over, those marketplace plans are quite affordable.
We're talking with Sadie Tischer, a health insurance broker in southeastern Wisconsin. She's fielding your questions about coverage, especially at this time of tremendous job loss. We're at 800-642-1234. We heard from Ed in Oliva, called in, and Ed is asking, if Ed and my wife are essential workers, if we get COVID, Ed asks, will we be required to pay our combined deductible?
So right now, COVID testing is covered by all insurance companies. That was part of the CARES Act. If you get sick and need treatment, the treatment has been subject to your deductible, your hospitalization. And yes, with all insurance, just like any illness, each person needs to meet their own deductible and their own out-of-pocket maximum.
And the Families First Coronavirus Response Act requires health plans to fully pay for testing deemed medically necessary. What does that mean?
So medical necessity means that a doctor has said you need to have this test done for medical reasons. What that has translated to for COVID is that you think you've been exposed or you have symptoms. Unfortunately, it is not covering what we're seeing more and more. When people are asked to return to work, their employer is saying you need to get a COVID test first. That is not considered medical necessity. I personally think it should be, but it's not as of right now. And the law is not requiring that it be considered medical necessity.
And the law
so
is
not. A situation.
Yeah, and the law is not requiring that companies would pick up the cost of providing that testing. Although
at this point, it's not. Yes.
Yeah. Although if the testing is still free, that wouldn't be an issue. It's a subsequent cost that would be an issue.
Right. And it all will also vary on where you get the tests done.
Okay.
So, for example, the National Guard testing sites in the Milwaukee area, at least. I think there are some throughout the state, but I get the Milwaukee newsletter, so pardon me, the rest of the state. Those aren't running insurance. Those are running through the state and national funding. But if you get the test done through your primary care physician or a hospital or other facility that normally runs insurance, they probably will run the insurance, and insurance will deny it if it's not considered medically necessary.
Let's bring in Lori now, joining us from Sauk City. Hi, Lori.
Hi, good morning. So my question has to do with someone I know who tells me they can't qualify for Badger Care, yet they have a very low income. So that $12,000, the first part of my question, gross or net? And then the second part is this woman with a very, very low income had received, when her mother passed away, two investment accounts, and they're not very plentiful. They will run out. And does Badger Care discriminate against someone who may have gotten an inherited IRA and maybe a small investment account and expect them to deplete that versus letting them qualify for Badger Care? That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Lori.
Sure. So Badger Care does not look at assets. They only look at income. However, from what Lori said, I would guess that her friend is either over 65 or has a disability and has been determined disabled either by Social Security or the state of Wisconsin, or is blind. Those three categories, elderly, blind, and disabled, those people do not qualify for Badger Care. They qualify for a different kind of Medicaid with different criteria, and that elderly, blind, and disabled kind of Medicaid does look at assets. So because Lori's friend is saying she's not eligible for Badger Care and because she has assets, I would guess that she is falling into that category. That being said, there are multiple categories of that kind of Medicaid, so she may not have been screened correctly, and I would suggest that she get some professional help. Each county has either an elder benefit specialist or a disability benefit specialist that works at that county that may be able to help Lori's friend find out if she might be eligible for a different category of Medicaid.
We have Sadie Tischer from Wisconsin Health Insurance Advocate LLC fielding your questions on insurance coverage. Do you feel confused about the health plan options you're faced with? Is a family or friend losing coverage? What do you want to know about how to help them? Have you tried finding health insurance through the new state portal, wiscovered.com? What have the resources provided you? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We'll get back to this with Sadie Tischer in just a moment. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're spending the hour on health insurance. And although open enrollment is closed, anyone who loses a job with health insurance is automatically eligible for a special enrollment period through healthcare.gov. Still time for your questions, your situation about coverage during this difficult time, 800-642-1234. Sadie Tischer is a health insurance broker in southeastern Wisconsin, and she stays with us. Sadie, we were talking there about Wisconsin Medicaid and providing health care coverage to, it looks like, over a million Wisconsin residents. There are just dozens of programs in our state that fall under the Medicaid umbrella. Can you help us understand how to parse those out and who is eligible?
Yes, there are a lot of programs. I think at last count, I had about 16 different programs that I counted. So there are three major categories. There are programs for children, And those include programs for children with specific conditions or disabilities. Like there is a specific autism funding program, among others. Then there is, second, a major category of Badger Care that is for families and children and childless adults. And that is mostly what I've been talking about here today. So that is the program where your income limit for an adult has to be under 100% of the federal poverty level. That $12,490 limit I've been talking about is just for a household size of one. So the limits go up as your household size gets bigger. And then that for children, they have to be under 300% of the federal poverty level. And then the third type of Medicaid, that was what I was talking about with one caller, is programs for the elderly, blind, and disabled. And those have different income limits, different program criteria. There's different programs for people who have a disability that's been determined by Social Security, different programs for people who are disabled and work. So there's lots of different programs, you're right, with that, Kate.
So you really should be making sure that you do the research and looking. If you're denied by one program, there may be another program that fits more closely to your situation.
Particularly if you are over 65 or have a disability, yes. If you are not over 65 and don't have a disability that's already been determined by the state, we can just look at Badger Care, that middle category for childless adults and adults and children in Wisconsin. But if you have a diagnosed disability and it's been determined by Social Security, yes, you will definitely want to look and see if there are other programs that are available.
Let's bring in Myers now in Milwaukee. Hi, Myers.
Yes.
Hi, what's your question? Are you there?
Yes, I am. My question was one about unemployment insurance and benefits that are eligible to someone whose job has ended because the restaurant she works at closed, and she applied for unemployment back in March and got the letter saying she was eligible, but has received no money. And now she has a new infant. So she has no income at all.
What would you do, Sadie, in this situation?
Well, first of all, unfortunately, I'm not an unemployment expert, but I do know a little bit about this because my mom was in a similar situation. Hi, Mom. where the state of Wisconsin has this unemployment assistance program specifically for the pandemic and for people who are self-employed, or many service industry people are considered self-employed because they're 1099 employees. So there was a specific website to apply for that benefit. It sounds like this woman did apply for that benefit and got the letter. We are seeing a huge backlog at state unemployment where people are still not getting the benefits. So I know the scenario because, you know, someone close to me had this happen where they're still waiting for benefits as well. My understanding is that even though they say there is no need to call, that there is a designated number that people can call to see if they are missing something or if they can get things moving. So I would suggest that Meyer's friend gets on the phone and see if she can connect with someone over at unemployment about getting that emergency assistance.
Let's bring in Kathy now in Rice Lake. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I just wanted to add a resource. I am a volunteer nurse at a pre-clinic in Rice Lake. We have the blessings of having that. And many counties do, and I just wanted to add that as a resource. We actually are open twice a week, and we'll, you know, gladly accept anyone who comes in. So people don't have to go without health care if they just kind of, you know, look for those extra resources. There's even a lot of people in our community that aren't even aware that we have a free clinic in town. So Just wanted to add that.
Oh, Kathy, thank you so much for your work and for mentioning that. Sadie, that, you know, in this time when people are searching for coverage and next steps, that a free clinic may be right there in their community.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Kathy. There are a lot of great resources. So this new website that Kate mentioned at the top of the hour, wiscovered.com, is a landing site to help people get directed to help. So most likely that local clinic is listed on wiscovered.com. You can go online and there's a button to get help now or apply for benefits. And that will direct you to people based on the zip code that you plug in that can assist you. And it's very specific on the website. It shows you both local nonprofit clinics and centers that have application assisters, and it will also direct you to agents in your local area that could also help you with marketplace plans and understanding those different benefits. So it gives you both options on the website.
Sadie, have you seen Wisconsin have a portal like this before, or is this the first time?
Yeah, so Covering Wisconsin, which is part of the UW system now, originally started because they received Navigator grant funding because of the Affordable Care Act. So they have long had a website offering resources to people. They're also connected to 211 in Milwaukee, where they help direct people to appropriate assistance. So you can also call 211 in your area and get assistance finding someone to help you. And this wiscovered.com links to the Covering Wisconsin website. So it's actually existed for quite a while, but now WithCovered cleaned up the website name and included some additional resources for people.
How do you think the pandemic will change health insurance, health coverage in the future?
You know, one thing that's been really interesting to me is to see what both the state and federal government have done that many residents have been calling for in insurance for a long time. And one example of this is balance billing legislation. In fact, a caller had asked too about concerns about being balance billed if she went out of network. So as part of the pandemic response in Wisconsin, the legislature passed and the governor signed a COVID bill that said that people seeking treatment for COVID out of network cannot be balance billed. So we know that this is possible in this state, and we need to, in my opinion, push our state representatives to enact anti-balance billing legislation throughout our state. It's a problem, luckily, that is covered by this pandemic relief if it's COVID-specific, but this is a major issue that we've been experiencing for years that now we know the state legislature, given the proper motivation, is willing to do. And I would encourage people to contact their state representatives and say, we as a state would like some anti-balance billing legislation to protect people from surprise bills.
Sadie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Sadie Tischer is the owner and an independent health coverage broker with Wisconsin Health Insurance Advocate, LLC. And the company is based in southeastern Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.